You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. We're in the studio, leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. And I got to tell you about the Leaders Portfolio Awards. It's the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. If you like the business you work for, we'll nominate them for the awards. Or maybe you think you're an effective leader. Apply for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. Nomination forms and application forms all available at leadersportfolio.com. Now in studio with us, the president and CEO of Avcom East, Mr. Robert Wolf. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks a lot, Rebecca. Great to be here.
Now, Avcom East is a leading provider of application infrastructure solutions based in Vienna, Virginia. And so tell us, what problem do you solve for businesses?
So what we mean by application infrastructure is the plumbing underneath someone's business applications. So they're implementing an accounting system. They're implementing a business process system. Underneath that is a bunch of other IT stuff. You know, think of a house where you have the framework, but there's still drywall, there's still paint, there's still things that make it happen. That's what we do. So I jokingly say we're the BASF of their applications. We don't build them, we make them run better. So it's all that underlying IT infrastructure. It's the servers, it's the storage, it's the backup, all of those things that are involved, primarily for mid-market commercial companies in this area.
50 million to 1 billion mid-market and Fortune 2000.
Yeah, we say it's 100 seats to $1 billion.
Oh, that's good. That's a catchy marketing phrase. And how did you arrive at that business model?
That's a great question. It's in the IT business, the challenge is to make margin, right? And there are lots of people that do fulfillment, that just sell product. And as time goes on, the cost of those products go down and the margin for those products go down. So the place you make money is by adding more value and providing services to your customer. And we discovered that in the big enterprise, we have some of those customers, but they have 20 Oracle experts. They have 50 Windows or Unix experts. And the mid-market, hopefully they're emerging companies, they tend to need a little more help. They can't afford two full-time Oracle people to implement their Oracle solution. They only have one. And we will sell them services to provide that gap of that other half of a person to help implement it. So really, it's A, where the money is, where we can add the most value and provide the most help, and B, it's a market that's growing at a pretty good, well, 7 years when we started the company, it's a marketplace that was growing at a pretty good clip, and better to get in on the ground floor and grow with somebody than try and get into someone who's far more mature and far more established as, you know, what we were as a startup 7 years ago.
And you were kind of hit on this a little bit, but you're 70% product, 30% service roughly now.
That's right. What,
was that the same makeup when you started in 2003?
We were probably more like 85-15. You always want to move into services. And the biggest challenge for an IT provider, especially one that sells products, is the phenomenon that the cost of products is constantly going down. So if you did $10 million of revenue this year, well, in 18 months, you need to sell twice as much product to still be at $10 million. Now, you can sell the same amount of services because the revenue's flat. But when it comes to product, it's, you know, you literally every 3 years, do the math, it's you have to sell four times as much. So we've been trying to diversify the business, be more relevant, add more value to our customers by selling more services, selling more sophisticated products that we can add value to and provide more services to our customers with.
Excellent. And you started this in 03. It's 09 now. Is this the roughest period?
It's certainly been a roller coaster. You know, there have been two inflection points in the business. In 05, I learned a great management lesson. It was me and about a dozen people. And I honestly did not have that middle tier of management. I tried to do it all myself. And I used to joke with people that there's seven disciplines to being the leader of a company. And I can do five at a time. And I used to wait till I saw smoke. And I shift over to the other. And I honestly brought my company to the brink because of my lack of infrastructure and resources for my people and my customers. And in after we hit that in 05, 06 early, we immediately started putting in systems and management and infrastructure and that sort of thing. So I want to point out that was a big challenge for us as well. I lived through it in 2000 with another company with a dot-com bubble bursting. And in 2009, I don't know if I'd say it's the most challenging. We're working harder than we've ever had to work. But I think that we know what we're facing. We know that people are taking 4 years to buy new IT infrastructure instead of three. We know that they're paying in 50 days instead of 30 days. Mm-hmm. And we can plan our business. We can you know, go to market. We can have offerings that can help best match that. And I think that's our job as leaders is, you know, if you will, looking in the crystal ball and getting there before the other guy does, or getting there and adding value for our customer before they desire to do it for themselves.
And you primarily, you're commercial. You sell to commercial clients.
Yeah, we're 90% commercial. We actually tripped our way into government, but our real focus has been commercial. We've done very well in some industries have been emerging in this area. So genomics, life sciences has done really well for us. We've got people that do telecommunication services. So we've got a customer that around the globe, they rely very heavily on them on infrastructure for mobile messaging. So if you send someone a text from your cell phone to someone that's not on your carrier, odds are it's going through my customer's intellectual property and our IT infrastructure. And they've grown quite a bit over the last 6 years we've been involved with them.
So have you, you know, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, every CEO now is changing their model to handle the economic climate. Are you focusing on keeping current clients happy and offering them more services? Or are you focusing on getting new clients? Or the commercial sector is tough right now.
It is. It's funny because I did an interview about 2 months ago for a publication. And they said, you know, in a couple words, what are you doing differently now? And my response is now, and it was then, we're going on offense. A lot of executives, you have two choices. You either curl up in the corner and keep what you have and try and protect everything you have, or you go and acquire more. And we've really been in that mode of growing our customer base. So we're doing a lot of things to keep our customers loyal. We've upped the level of services we provide them. But more importantly, we're really in, you know, if you will, a land grab mode. There are a lot of competitors in our marketplace that are really trying to protect and not looking to grow. And we're aggressively looking to grow the base, grow the pool of customers. And then, you know, and when the tide rises, we're going to find ourselves, we used to bring on a new customer every 14 to 16 days. We acquire a new customer every 10 days now. Now, the dollars are not as big. The margin isn't as good. It's not the same ROI today. But the bet is that we're going to have a far larger basket of customers that we're serving. And as the economy grows, our business will grow with that.
Interesting. And I want to ask you, how are you as a leader, give us your leadership philosophy.
It's funny. I when I started the company, I used to say that I make good decisions and I make decisions I learn from. There's no third option. but it's really been two things. Well, it's golden rule. You know, I lead by example. I do treat people the way I want to be treated. But I gather information from multiple points, and I make decisions quickly. I think it's a lot more efficient, a lot more effective for my business to make a decision, and if it takes a mid-course correction, see it, make it quickly, versus being stagnated in over-analysis and you know, delays that could surpass the advantage of making that decision. So it's quick decisions, it's information gathering, but velocity of those decisions is probably the most important thing in the way that I lead my company.
You've encouraged, I was going to ask you about this, you've encouraged building a solid architecture using best practices to meet the customer's business goals for their business applications. Explain this best practices.
Sure. So, it's funny because we have competitors that are almost like grocery stores for IT, and we have competitors that are these very large Fortune 100 consulting companies. We have a group of people that has an average of 15 years experience. We've all worked for Fortune 500s in technology sales or technology enablement. And we take those practices, those methodologies, and we apply them to mid-market companies. You know, you'll see the GEs of the world doing these things on their own because it's part of how they run their business. The mid-market companies don't tend to make those same investments or have those same skill sets, and we hope that we're able to bring those to the table for the customer, improve their business, improve their business processes, and, of course, for us, retain loyalty, retain customers long-term.
When do you think we're going to be out of this financial situation? Financial mess, I should say.
I wish I had a crystal ball. I'd also love to talk to you about health insurance, which is a whole other discussion about how my business is affected. But someone made the comment, and I kind of sense the same thing, that it's a W. And we're at the bottom of the first inverted mm-hmm. V on the W, and it's going to come back, and there's probably going to be another hit before it starts clawing out. I really sense it's going to go down more before it comes back, and I'm running my business that way. We've pared down some expenses. There are extravagances that we've done away with on a year-to-year basis, even the venue of the holiday party and the
right.
amount of sports tickets we buy and those sorts of things. That's the good thing that's come out of all this. It's taught us how to be more prudent. I had some people that I would have considered welfare cases in my company in a remote office in another state, and it's really caused me to pay more attention to detail, to put more things under the microscope, and be better prepared for whatever is gonna come ahead of us. And one of those things I kind of sidetracked you was health insurance. Small businesses have been just bombarded with what's happening. I'm curious what happens with the government, but as a business, I think most of the folks you've interviewed, we've gone 200 to 300% increase in the cost of health insurance.
Yeah.
So my payroll, my taxes, everything stayed the same. That's been that one out of control cost that we've been dealing with as business leaders, and it's gone from $365 per employee in my company to $1,100 per employee in my company. And it's forced us to take a really strong look at how we provide our benefits to our employees
mm-hmm.
and the cost of those benefits. And then there's a ripple effect in job satisfaction and the way people perceive their benefits as part of their compensation. So that's been something that's keeping me up at night, actually more than the economy. As the economy, we know we have. But there are things like health insurance and there's some other things going on in the world that I don't think any of us can be quite sure how it's going to eventually affect our businesses. And it's a little bit disconcerting.
I wonder if there's going to be a shift to less employees and more contract work. So people working for a few different companies. And that health insurance itself is that shift. It's one variable and it's driving that shift.
But we
don't know yet for a few years. But
I think that's very fair. I also think that we're headed towards an economy. It's funny because I just interviewed a young woman yesterday that has graduated college in May of last year, hasn't been able to find a job, and she's doing two different jobs to give her full-time income. And I think as an economy, we're headed there anyways. I think there are a lot of households looking for secondary income, and that secondary income is not going to be 40 hours a week. It's going to be 20. So if I'm an employer looking for a full-time employee, I may find it's beneficial for two people to job share that job
yep.
as well. And yeah, there's some benefits things that shouldn't ever be why you hire somebody. But the reality is I think there's going to be a lot more of that in the economy. And that's back to I finally come to the realization that I have ADD. And I think we have an ADD workforce and an ADD leadership force. And doing multiple things and having multiple jobs actually plays to that, and everyone wins in that situation.
I also wonder let me jump back here. We're interviewing President and CEO of Avcom East, Mr. Robert Wolf. And we've been talking about healthcare and the rising cost of the employer. But I also wonder if companies are going to start to shift. And instead of publicizing the average salary, my thought is publicize the average package.
So we've done that since day one. When I started the company, this is back to the golden rule we talked about earlier, I provided my employees and their family, whoever they needed covered, with 100% company-funded health insurance. And it went up 20% and 20% and 20%. And then finally, last April, it went up another 40%. And I hit my breaking point, and we had to go to an 80-20 share thing. 401k, we've got a safe harbor 401k where the company puts a percentage of their gross income into the 401k no matter what they make. So if someone makes $50,000 a year, that's $1,500 automatically every year from the company in their 401k. So we've always promoted it that way. I think it's very important that a prospective employee and an employer communicates that your package, your salary's $50,000, but you're getting another $10,000 of benefits. And I think it's very important that we all keep score with that.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the good conversation. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you very much.
Robert Wolf, President and CEO of Avcom East, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. And I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what's to come. Social Solutions, Matt Schubert, CEO and Chairman. We've also got the founder, president, CEO of Centuria Corporation, Kevin Burke. Portal Solutions, CEO, president, founder, Daniel Cohen-Dumani. Information experts, Marissa Levin, CEO. InfoZen, chairman, CEO, and president, Raj Ananthanpillai. And of course, for folks, a recent cancellation by Ackridge Corporation. And so they won't be joining us on Leaders Portfolio. I am Rebecca Blacksmith, and we have another a CEO coming up. We're going to talk about leadership and how in the DC market he's navigating the leadership decisions that he's making and this economic crisis, I'll call it. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.